Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's going great. This is the fourth one recording today, and I feel fresh as a daisy.
Yeah, I feel as fresh as a used tampon, so not exactly the
restart the whole thing.
No, we're not restarting. I'm exhausted. I'm like running on fumes, but you know, we committed to doing 32 of these in 32 days, and so we're powering through. And you know what? Sometimes that's how you feel, but you know.
The haters are right. You're gross.
Which hater said that? All right. So we're talking about the Houston Texans now. This is – I'm looking at our power ranking. So far, we've really had very little disagreement other than you wanting to restart this episode. This is the first team of six where we had a significant difference in our power rankings. You had the Houston Texans at 8. I had the Houston Texans at 16. And there's another team who I had at 8 and you had at 16 who we'll get to when we get to them. And so so those two teams average out and are tied for 11th overall. So Houston's 11th overall, but you think of them as a borderline Super Bowl contender, and I think of them as a team who is only making the playoffs because their division is hot garbage. So we'll ask our Texans fan whose side he's on. I can make a prediction. But so here to talk about the Texans is Matt Weston. Matt Weston from the Battle Red blog and also the podcast. So, Matt, welcome to 32 Fans. How are you doing? I apologize for the introduction.
I'm doing great. I'm not a used tampon. I feel fresh and strong, and it's a beautiful day.
All right. Okay, so yeah, so basically my feeling on this Texans team is, and you know, they're almost like the Vikings of the AFC in the sense that they have a great defense, you know, a decent running game. The problem really is, you know, with Teddy Bridgewater's injury, obviously, it's a question mark what you're going to get out of your quarterback. So you guys this year, you go ahead and you draft Deshaun Watson, and obviously the hope is that Deshaun Watson is your quarterback of the future. But as of right now, who's starting week one? Is it him? Is it Tom Savage? What's the plan?
Tom Savage is going to start week one. It just seems like it. I know that there's been kind of reports that, you know, Watson's been great in practice. He's far away ahead of any rookie quarterback that, you know, Bill O'Brien's ever been around. But, you know, Savage had to start in last night's preseason game. He played, you know, the first quarter and a half, the first three drives, and, you know, he looked fine. And it seems like O'Brien's the type of coach who wants his, you know, rookie quarterback to, I guess, learn and not play until he's fully ready. But, you know, that being said, it's one of those situations that's going to be precarious if we don't know how long Savage is going to play or how long until, you know, Watson becomes, you know, the good enough he needs to be to take over that spot.
And then the other big question, I think, on the offense, right, is Dwayne Brown is still holding out, your left tackle.
Correct. Yeah, Brown's still out, and he doesn't have any guaranteed money left on his deal. So he has 2 years left on his contract, and I think he makes $8 million, a little bit more than that, both this year and next year. And so he wants a new deal, and you know, he has a lot of leverage because, you know, Tom Savage is a quarterback that holds on to the ball forever. So you need to have a tackle who really, you know, you really need to be able to pass block well for him to have any chance to, you know, be competent. And then also just the offensive line's not very good. And him and Suofiwa were the best, Xavier Suofiwa were the best part of the offensive line, the run game together. And next year, I mean, I guess as far as the base salary goes, if he gets, he can get cut and not make anything out of it. And so he wants to get a new contract, probably similar to what Andrew Whitworth got, so he can be kind of locked down for the next few years. But and he's also still really good too, so he's still not there, and it's a big hole so far. And you know, nobody knows exactly when he's going to come back to play or if he's going to miss any games or anything like that.
Daisy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, I got more questions.
I did mute my mic as my children came in for me.
That's as a guy who invested his whole fantasy team last year in DeAndre Hopkins, what the hell happened to him last year? And don't tell me it was the quarterback because, you know, in 2015 he was supposedly quarterback-proof.
Yeah, with Hopkins last year, I mean, a lot of it was, you know, the quarterback because Brock Osweiler was the worst quarterback in the NFL, not named Jared Goff. And then the other thing that was different too was just they try to use him more, I guess, like in route combinations and that sort of thing compared to 2015 where they just kind of left him on the sideline in a lot of one versus one, you know, route combinations that he just won a lot. And also he wasn't targeted as much before. You know, Osweiler, one of the things that happened to him last year is that once teams started using two safeties, he couldn't throw the ball to the sideline. He couldn't throw the ball deep at all. So he was stuck, you know, dumping the ball off to, you know, quarterbacks on out routes and flat routes for, you know, 3 yards. And, you know, I think he had two or three games where he averaged less than 4 yards an attempt. And so he just didn't have the accuracy to make those throws to the sideline. So the biggest thing it was, you know, the quarterback play. Osweiler was terrible. And the scheme was a little bit different last year too. It was just kind of a culmination of both. But he's still very good. He should be very good this year, and he's been very good. No matter who the quarterback has been before in the past.
Yeah. The receiving core to me is interesting because there's a lot of names past Hopkins that fans know. But who do you see really emerging as like the two and three guys there?
I really have no idea. It's been one of those things where they had speed and there's talent there. You have Braxton Miller. I know Will Fuller V broke his collarbone. He's going to be out for 4 or 5 weeks. And then you have Jalen Strong, who they trade up to draft in the third round, I believe, off the top of my head. And he's provided absolutely nothing aside for some Hail Mary touchdown catch.
I picked him in a 20-team fantasy league. I'm like, ooh, Jalen Strong, he's going to be my real sleeper.
Yeah. And he has another thing. And he ran a really nice slant route last night in that preseason game and torched Malcolm Butler on it. Like, pretty much made him fall down and caught a touchdown doing that. And he just really hasn't done anything. He's been hurt. He hasn't been very good. He's had issues getting separation. And they signed Bruce Ellington. He did a lot of stuff in that preseason game last night. But whenever it comes to the second and third, fourth wide receiver spots, they have talent and they have question marks, but nobody's really kind of come in and played really well to secure that role down yet.
I mean, here's my question. This team is a team that's gone 9-7 3 years in a row, right? And I look at, from last year to this year, where have they improved? Okay, J.J. Watt's back. He was injured, much of last season. Obviously, when you add the best defensive player in the world, that helps. But then again, they were 9-7 with a healthy J.J. Watt a couple of years before that. The other big addition is Deshaun Watson, who's not even going to be on the field to start the season. And I don't really see any other big additions, and I see some losses on the defense. A.J. Bouye was a great cornerback. Mm-hmm. Vince Wilfork, who probably didn't have much left in the tank. Quinton Demps, the safety. So, tell me, what reason is there to argue why the team that's been 9-7 3 years in a row, why they're better than the team of the last 3 years? At least until Deshaun Watson becomes, whatever you think he might be.
Yeah, I don't think there really is an argument for it. I know you would think that the offense will be better this year just because it was so bad last year. And you expect for it just to be, a little bit better without having, Osweiler there as quarterback. But they didn't do anything to make the team better. And it was strange, too, because that was kind of expected this offseason just because of where they were with the salary cap. But then they traded Brock Osweiler for, gave up a second-round pick to remove that salary off their books. And they didn't do anything with the $10 million in cap space they created. And they're sitting on, $17 million right now.
Well, the plan was Tony Romo, right?
I think so. That's the only other idea I can think of. But still, they didn't use that cap space to do anything. And they still could have franchise-tagged A.J. Bouye. And
in hindsight, it was a really bad trade.
Oh, it's a terrible trade. But the thing is, even if you do that for Romo, you don't get Romo. You still have this cap space. And that cap space, they're going to have that cap space the year after no matter what. So it's only really beneficial for this season. And they didn't do anything with it. But yeah, I mean, they didn't make any changes at all, any real big additions. I know they added Watson, but they had to make the offense better this offseason. They didn't, and like you said, you don't know whenever he's going to play.
All right, so then I'm going to turn around and pin this on Akiva. Wait, Akiva, why do you have this team at number 8 then?
Okay, because I think Deshaun Watson to me has a higher ceiling than Trubisky or Mahomes or any of the guys drafted this year. To me, it's by a million miles, and if he comes in. Maybe they tread water at the beginning of the season with Savage, enough so that they realize, hey, he stinks. The Watson comes in and is good, and all of a sudden you have Watson, you have Lamar Miller, you have DeAndre Hopkins on a team that has, the best player in the NFL on defense, and it's like, oh, this team, you said... You said they're in a bad division. Well, guess what? Sometimes you could win your bad division... And you get a home game or, even a bye. I'm not saying the Texans are going to get a bye, but you could get a home game and you're on a, an easy path to the AFC Championship game with the Patriots.
Okay, but hold on, Akiva. A power ranking is not a prediction for the end of the season. The power ranking is where they are right now, right? That's the same reason you and I both agree set on the Cowboys.
Hold on.
We both said on the Cowboys podcast that the Cowboys are going to regress this year and be about a 500 team. And yet... You have them number 6 overall. Why? Because coming into the season, based on this moment, even though you think they're going to be 8-8, right now there's not 27 teams that are better than them. So right now they're number 6, even though you're predicting that by the end of the year they'll be about 14 or 15 or 16. So you're saying that Houston has the potential, Deshaun Watson, by the end of the year to be number 8. But right now, how do you justify putting them at number eight? You're saying, well, because they have a ceiling. But that's not the question. We're saying right now, you think they're the eighth best team in the league. The team they have right now with Tom Savage under center in week one is the eighth best team in the league.
Adjusting for schedule and division, yes, I agree. They're the eighth best team in the league. No question.
So they're dramatically better than the last 3 years when they had the same easy division, the same easy schedule, and they went 9-7 3 years in a row. And they've added nobody to their team.
They have added someone. They've added Deshaun Watson, who's going to play.
He's not playing.
When they realize that he's good and Tom Savage is bad.
Okay, but right now he's not on their
starting lineup. By the way,
if
Tom Savage is good, then the team is good. But in all likelihood, that's not going to happen. So
well,
Deshaun
Watson's so bad that Tom Savage is better than him. Either way, the point is.
Matthew, why don't you come in and defend him here? Because I know you're going to agree with me.
No, he already said he thinks they're the same team.
And by the way, 9-7, you know, is going to win this division probably. So.
Oh, I agree with you. That's why. Yeah, I have him number 16 in my power rankings. I have him number one in their division. Totally agree. They'll be 9-7 like they are every year. They'll win their division unless Andrew Luck suddenly becomes, you know, healthy and good again, which, you know, who knows. Matt is very silently tiptoeing out of the room.
What do you think, Matt?
I think eight's too high. I think probably about 16 is where I would put them. I think they're going to be about eight. I think 8-8 is kind of like the mean for them this year. And the other thing too is, like, you're talking about the division being easy. It's gonna be better this year again, like it was last year. It was better, you know, last year than it had been in previous years too. But also just their schedule, their average projected opponent is as an average DVOA at 1.1%, which is eighth, you know, as far as what outsiders goes. And the rest of the teams in the division, Tennessee, Jacksonville, and Indy, have the easiest schedules in the league this year, probably because they play the NFC West, but also finishing, you know, second, third, and fourth, you get to play, you know, the Browns instead of playing the Steelers and that sort of thing. So the Texans do have a tough schedule, and their first 9 weeks are rough. And so I guess whenever it comes to, like, you know, Watson, whenever he's going to play, I think you're going to see Savage probably start for the first, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. And through that really rough part of the schedule and after the bye, maybe Watson will come in and play then. But, I agree with them being probably about middle of the pack because, like you were saying, they didn't do anything really to improve at all last year. Their offense needed to get better this year and really hasn't. I think division's going to be better. Their schedule's pretty tough. And also, last year, they really overperformed as far as their record goes. They didn't play very well. They won a lot of close games because their defense. And this year, if you see, like, even a little bit of regression to the mean, those one score games, they go from being a 9-7 team to, you know, 7-9. And so I think, you know, the best estimate is somewhere between 7-9 to 9-7. But I'm more closely leaning on them being, you know, 500 to slightly below 500 than, you know, 10-6, 11-5 Super Bowl contender.
Kiva, the Texans fans on my side.
Yeah. No, thank you, Matthew.
By the way, I got to say it, Kiva. I've been very impressed with our guests in general so far this year. So 2 years ago when we did this for the first time, or at least I did this for the first time with you, our guests, you know, seemed to be homers to such a comical extent that we had everybody predict their team's record, and the league as a whole was like 100 games above 500. So much so that last year, to try and stem that, we had everyone give us the predicted record of their biggest rival rather than themselves to try and balance that. But this year, most of the fans have actually been picking the under,
everyone's
the over-under.
You know why? Because there's only one team that thinks they can win the Super Bowl. There's 31 teams that are punting the season.
It's a problem.
It's going to be a weird year. It's going to be a problem. That's why you got to root for Brady to go down.
The NBA has that problem, and you know the NBA's ratings are as high as they've ever been. So
true. It's true. It's true. The Patriots.
All right. So the over/under for Houston is 8.5. So Matthew, you would probably lean on the under.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on it, but I would go with the under.
All right, and Akiva would go way over.
Not way, but I'm pounding. Yeah.
I think they're 9-7 like they are every year. I think a healthy JJ Watt is. Yeah. Well, yeah, but I wouldn't bet on it. I'm right on the fence.
Do the safeties concern you? I don't know these names. Like, I usually, in a unit, you rarely know zero players, but I don't know a single one of these safeties.
Yeah, the secondary is concerning. I know that, you know, Jalen Joseph's been great every year, but eventually that unicorn blood's going to run out, and he's not going to be, you know, great at eventually, and he's 34 this year. You know, Kevin Johnson's been injured every year he's been in the league. I mean, he's spectacular. Like, he's going to be a great cornerback. He's just had injury issues. Kareem Jackson was bad last year in the slot position. I was hoping that they would move him to safety, and they haven't done that yet. But I'm sure there'll be some base packages that will do it. And then, like you're saying, for the safeties, they have Corey Moore, who hasn't started a game, or he played a little bit last year at safety. But Quinn Demps wasn't good last year, so it's not like they're losing thing with him gone. He just caught a lot of interceptions that other cornerbacks tipped up to him. And Andre Howe's, like, he's a good cover safety. He can cover half the field and go from the middle of the field to the sideline well. he just can't tackle at all. I think he missed 13 tackles last year, which led the league. And so like last year, their strength was their secondary, especially Boye, you know, playing as great as he did. And so this year it's their front seven. And so the thing about it's like with JJ Watt there, you have Merciless and Clowney, you're hoping that this, the pass rush is, you know, a top five or the best in the league sort of pass rush, that, you know, the secondary doesn't matter as much. But, you know, I still lean that on the fact that I think Houston should franchise tag Boye for sure. And then they did that. This could have been potentially a top 10 defense full time. But now without him there, he was the best player in their defense last year. There's, you know, there's depth and, you know, kind of questions in the secondary, which was the strength of this team last season.
Did all right, answer this question, Matt. J.J. Watt plays X games this season.
I'll say 14. I mean, I don't, I'm not a doctor, okay, but I'll say 14.
You'd sign for that right now in a
second. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, listen, back injuries end careers. It's not breaking news here.
Yeah, you know? I think it was that, and also just like he hadn't missed a game up to that point too, played a ton of snaps. And I think just in general, he was just, you know, his body was just dead and he needed a sabbatical. And so at least he missed, you know, early in the part of last year. He only played two games last year. At least this didn't happen like week nine, you know. And so everything I've seen is he looks good, and all the reports are that he looks great too, and that he's healthy, and, you know, everything should be good to go.
Chester, did you know that the Texans tight ends, led by Fedorowicz and Griffin, were second in the league last year in receptions?
I knew that Fedorowicz was getting added and dropped every week in fantasy, but I would not have guessed that.
But, yeah, 115 catches. The Jets did not hit 15 in any of their last three seasons. 115 of the Texans. Nobody would have guessed that. If we weren't doing a Texans podcast and I said, you know, who was number two, you wouldn't have come close.
Yeah. Matt, are you live in Houston?
I live in San Antonio.
San Antonio, okay.
Oh. Wait, so have we had this conversation before? This is Matt's first time on the podcast, right?
I think he's been on our draft podcast before.
Oh, you were on the draft podcast, right. Well, you know, are you a Spurs fan, Matt? Because you know I'm a Spurs fan.
No, I'm a Sacramento Kings fan, actually.
Oh, get out of town.
Wait, you live in San Antonio?
I could have met. Yeah. I have no friends who are Spurs fans. I could have made a Spurs friend, and you.
I've liked him more since I moved away from home.
That's the worst decision I've ever.
Yeah,
heard
well,
in my
I was
life.
Nine.
I mean, you gotta respect it though. You gotta respect it though.
The Spurs are, I think, like 40-2 in their last 42 games against the Kings.
I mean, yeah, I go to those games every year, and they always lose. I don't know. I fell in love with that team when I was 9 years old and have stuck with them. And I've liked the Spurs. I used to hate the Spurs. And I've liked them more since I moved away from home and, you know, traveled and stuff.
But wait, you're from San Antonio. And do you mind like about around how old are you? Like, because we're 33.
I'm 26 years old.
And so like, oh, okay.
For yourself, Akiva.
So that's insane. Well, you're 34, Chester, but we're born in 83. So you're born like 90 or 91.
Wait, so Matt, so you don't really remember the Houston Oilers?
The Spurs have never missed the playoffs, minus the Robinson injury years.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been great every year. And I've watched them, and I hated them for a while.
What a horrible decision.
Yeah, I've never seen a sports championship. It's because I was dumb when I was 9 years old.
How did you become a Kings fan? Just out of curiosity?
I fell in love with that, you know, Vladi, Stojakovic, Weber, Bibby team when I was nine.
Oh, wow.
And I've stuck with them since then.
That was a great team. But by the way, the Spurs and Robinson and Duncan were winning championships.
Yeah, I know that.
Literally in 99, the Spurs won.
Well, I hate the Spurs. I hate San Antonio when I was growing up. And I don't know.
So who'd you root for before the Texans came
around? I didn't really have a team. I liked Brett Favre a lot. I liked the St. Louis Rams whenever they had, you know, Warner, Falk, and all that. Okay. So I just kind of jumped from different teams I liked. And whenever Houston came around in 2002, I was like, well, I guess this is it. And part of that decision was because that Madden 01 had the franchise draft after one season. And so I would play with Houston that game and start the expansion team. And I enjoyed that. So I've been watching this team every week since then.
But you said at baseball you're a Rangers fan, not an Astros fan. But you never wanted to be a Cowboys fan. So, you know, that's obviously respectful. Yeah. So you have some morality and ethics too, so that's good to hear.
Man, that is depressing. I could have had a fellow San Antonio Spurs. I mean, I'm not joking. Like, I root for the Mets and the Jets, and I'm from New York. And, there's 100 people on any day if I wanted. I could have a long conversation with about the Mets or the Jets. And there's literally zero people in my life who I could talk to about the Spurs. Like, I bore people complaining about the Pau Gasol contract, but no one cares.
I mean, I can still talk about the Spurs. Like, I still watch them enough. And, I like the Spurs in the playoffs whenever they're playing against, you know, the Rockets and the Warriors and all that. But I've went from hating him to respecting him to kind of like him whenever I was away to, you know, kind of being in between now. But yeah, it's always fun here whenever the playoffs happen. I always enjoy that part of it and watch my friends be happy.
Can you pick a number between 0 and 100, please?
77.
Tell me everything you know about Curtis Drummond. That's Curtis with a K.
I don't know anything about Curtis Drummond.
No, he's a safety from Michigan State. Is he not going
to
make the team?
I can tell you. I don't really pay a lot of attention to like the 87th man on the roster and training camp cuts and all that. So I really don't care that much about that.
But that's the whole point of Akima's game.
Yeah, that's no. We ask players that nobody knows. I mean, for the most part, the truth is nobody ever picks I don't mess around. Like nobody ever picks who's Tom Brady. He actually played special teams for you guys 2 years ago. I don't know what he did last year, but he was a special
on the worst special teams in the league too.
Yeah, no brag, no brag. But Curtis Drummond with a K. All right. Other than we know who your stars on offense with Hopkins and defense with what. Last question: is there anybody on the team you think might break out as like a top tier Pro Bowl type player this season that we're not expecting?
I think if Kevin Johnson's healthy, he can make the Pro Bowl for sure. I think he will if he's healthy because he's going to play a lot. He's going to take on Boye's role as before. DJ Reader, who is taking over for Vince Wilfork at nose tackle, he was better than Wilfork was last year. Wilfork really was never good at all during his time in Houston, but he was cool and lovable, kind of like how Shane Leckler is now, where they both weren't good, but people love them because they're their personalities and stuff. But DJ Reader is great. He's strong. He's also a really good pass rusher on the interior, which is like the most important thing to having a good defense is having a good interior pass rush. And then offensively, I could see somebody being good as far as, I think Fedorets could be better. And then maybe one of those receivers can take a step forward. It's just one of those things that hasn't happened yet. So I'm not really expecting it. And I'm not expecting this offense to be very good this year anyways. But if you wanted to kind of keep your eye on two players to break out for Houston this year, it'd be either DJ Reader or Kevin Johnson. And probably both are going to have really great years this season.
All right, well, Matt, thanks so much for joining us. You are on – we can read you on battleredblog.com, which is the SB Nation Texans website.
Correct.
Is that right? And you're also on Twitter. What is it? MBW? 987. All right, I assume those are your initials.
Yeah. It's very creative.
Good sleuthing on my
part. That's how many games the Kings have lost this decade.
Yeah, probably. Hey, but the 2002 Kings are going to be an NBA 2K18, so I may buy a video game system for the first time in, 10 years just for that. Thanks for looking up.
Listen, the thing that upset me most as a other than Minnesota teams in my lifetime, I think, was the bullshit NBA Western Conference Finals between the Kings and the Lakers in 2003 and the refereeing in that series.
I cried in the bathroom after that game.
David Stern should be in prison for that.
Part of me has never left that
bathroom. I would have cried too, for sure. Yeah, the De'Aaron Fox era. That's really going to be the Buddy Hield era. I'm sure you're excited.
Yeah, he looks very good.
Yeah, I don't know. Things don't look great with Vivek, honestly. But he's got to take his hand off the basketball side of things. Anyways, Akiva, so that's the Houston Texans and Matt Weston. And I realized at the top of this podcast, I was vague about the team that that I have 8 and you have 16. But I don't really know why I did that because I realized that this episode, which is going to be a double episode, the title of the episode is going to give it away. The other team that we have tied for 11th in our power rankings because I have them 8th and you have them 16th. And that, of course, is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, all right. The Texans Bengals. Those two teams are always together and everyone's always bored watching them. So why not?
Yeah, it's a classic first-round matchup. Where, the Texans are the 4 seed, the Bengals are the 5 seed. And
it's the Gruden game. It's the game that...
Andy Dalton's at 1-5.
The game that the league punishes ESPN with every year, the Gruden game.
All right, Akiva, so that's the Texans. So now let's flip to the other side. The team that I have 8 and you have 16, which means that they're tied with the Texans for 11th overall in our preseason power rankings, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep, Bengals-Texans. Everyone's super excited. Let's do it.
Yeah, the worst possible first-round matchup you can have in the AFC playoffs. And back to discuss the Bengals, as he's been on this podcast many, many times before, making a special appearance for us because he's about to run out, and I think he's
Are you in the total? What do they call the part of the country that's totally covered for the eclipse?
I don't know exactly what they call it, but I'm just outside of it. The totality zone. Yeah.
Just outside the totality. Zach is back. Welcome back to the podcast, Zach. Your Bengals, again, I have them at 8. Akiva has them at 16. How are you feeling about your Bengals right now?
I'm always feeling optimistic about the Bengals. We got the talent. We're good. Akiva's never high on them, which is okay. But, no, I think that we have a lot of talent on this team. I think we could easily finish in, 8 or 16.
Yeah, so you won 6 games last year. Obviously, a lot of injuries on the offense. Tyler Eifert, A.J. Green, Andy Dalton, everybody healthy right now. You add to that mix a couple of rookies, Joe Mixon, John Ross, at least with Mixon, maybe not the greatest guy, but a good running back, hopefully. Not that you really needed a running back between Bernard and Jeremy Hill, but is the big question with this offense just going to be health again? Or?
It's every team, it's always health, but I think for this offense, it's our offensive line. We lost 2 of our key players on the offensive line.
Yeah, Whitworth, the left tackle, right?
And Zeitler, guard. But we drafted a few years ago. We drafted Fisher and we drafted Cedric Oboye. So if they can actually step in and be who we think they can be, then we should be okay. But that's gonna be our big concern. If our offensive line can give Andy enough time to get those guys time to throw, get Andy time to throw, or Hill, Bernard, Mixon, you choose, some space to run the ball.
Kiva, this is our second guest who's on a first-name basis with his team starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait till we get to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Everyone's on a first-name basis with her. I'm still baffled that we had to push off this podcast for an eclipse. Like, it's crazy that you people care about the eclipse.
Why are you anti-eclipse? I don't understand.
If I wanted to, like, do something for 30 seconds that would ultimately blind me, I'd go masturbate. Like, it's insane.
Oh, man, he was excited to bring
interest.
That one up.
There's no interest. Like, if it was upstairs in my room, I wouldn't. Like, if it was on my ceiling, I'm saying, I wouldn't look up. Who cares? I don't understand. Like, you look at pictures later. People are, like, driving to, like, North Carolina, and they're freaking out about this. And I just don't understand the appeal.
No, all right, this podcast, this will be a specially dated conversation because I think we're not going to post this for a day or two. So the eclipse will be into...
Oh, yeah. Guess what? If you posted it during the eclipse, it wouldn't matter because the eclipse sucks.
All right, fine. So we're done with your eclipse takes. You got any takes on the Bengals?
Yeah. Okay, so let's not just run right over like losing Andrew Whitworth, who's maybe the best left tackle in the league. It's a big deal, and you talk about all the talent the team has, Zach, but like they went 6-10 last year and they had talent and like
6-9-1, let's be
six,
fair.
6-9-1, you're right. We're 2 years removed from like the super Andy Dalton that's almost the MVP. And yes, they're loaded at running back, and yes, like if John Ross is a good player, and I'm skeptical of the combine speed guys. I'm always skeptical of those guys.
Yeah.
But fair.
Troy Williamson for the Vikings.
You could go on a rant about how many of those guys didn't make it.
Those guys don't make it. Like Stephen Hill for the Jets, Marquise Goodwin. Like those guys, a lot of times, if they were John Ross, like the reason, he's good is because of his speed. But like it wasn't like he was dominating in college and catching 80 passes a year, and then it's like, oh, and he's also really fast. Like that's it goes speed first, then like maybe we could turn him into a receiver.
The order of the receivers taken in the first round of the draft was very curious this year.
Yeah, I agree. Also, and the truth is, it's funny, like, because we're Chester and I are in a league that's soon to draft, just NFL rookies, basically, and there's no NFL rookie receivers that people are really lining up to take this year. Like all those guys, you could get like the rookie receivers. There's no one in like the consensus top 50, I don't think.
Yeah, but it's always hard. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. came out of nowhere. These guys always are hard to predict before their season
starts.
Yeah,
for sure. But I'm saying there's nobody anyone's high on, even during
That's fair.
I want to know, we were talking ranking quarterbacks on some previous podcasts. Where do you rank Dalton league-wide, Zach?
I don't have the full list in front of me, but I'd put him in the – put him
in
near the
–
I'd probably put him in the top – I'd probably put him around 10.
Let's throw some names, and you'll say if they're better than Dalton, okay?
Okay, I'm saying if they're better than Dalton, okay.
Chester, we'll go back and forth. Is Russell Wilson better than Dalton?
Yes.
Chester, you go.
What about Dak Prescott?
Not yet, no.
Andrew Luck?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I think most people would say that, but I think you would definitely have an argument to say that he's not.
Chester's so. Anti-Luck. He hates Andrew Luck.
I'm not anti-Luck. I'm just, you know, he's frequently injured and frequently
mediocre.
Can't even
come up with a second quarterback.
I still think I think a lot of people
more names. All right, I don't know. Kirk Cousins.
No.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes.
He's better
Derek
than
Carr.
Ben. Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I glossed over that.
No, Ben's better than Andy.
Oh, okay.
I'm confused here.
You asked,
thanks for making confusing rules, Akiva. All right. Point taken. You really learned a lot in
the segment. All right, hold on. I'm just going to do this another way. I'm gonna start saying names, and you cut me off when it's a guy who Dalton is better than. All right. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott.
I think he's better than Dak.
He said he's better than Dak.
Yeah. Andrew Luck, you said no. Kirk Cousins, I think you said yes, right?
I think Andy's better than Kirk.
Yeah. Derek Carr.
I think they're about even. I mean, if you're starting a franchise, you take Carr. He's younger, but
yeah. Matt Stafford.
I'd take Andy over Stafford.
This is
Philip Rivers. All right, okay. So Andy Dalton's around 9 or 10, which is what he said at the beginning, Akiva. I don't know why we played this little game.
Akiva messes up another segment. This is what we call. Let's go. Let's talk about the defense.
Look,
for a second.
Our biggest problem has not been Andy the last 2 years.
No,
it was his first few years of his career. Andy was our problem, but.
He
doesn't want a playoff game.
Zach, are you on team fire Marvin Lewis?
Yeah.
Is there another team? I didn't know there was.
I mean, yeah, it's the owners who don't fire Marvin Lewis.
Yeah, I guess
Lewis.
The owner.
They are literally on team don't fire Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
If you want to know our underlying biggest concern that we have probably as a fan base is not the talent, is our scheme, is our coaching. I think last year the major reason we lost a lot of games is we were just out-schemed every single game. It's not like the teams that were beating us were better than us talent wise. They just showed up knowing where our holes were, and we didn't know where theirs were.
I do.
Yeah, but listen, you got to give Marvin Lewis a chance. I mean, you know, he's got to have a chance to, you know, be with the team, and
he's got to coach the players he picked for their whole careers before you really judge
and their children.
It doesn't, you know, the thing with Marvin Lewis, and I've been on team Marvin Lewis for literally like 6 years, like the first version of this podcast. In 2011, and it's like the Bengals used to be cheap, but now they're willing to spend alongside, you know, like the other teams in the league. They don't have like the lowest payroll every year or something, but they show like this stupid loyalty to Lewis. And I think that like almost any coach in the league would do a better job with this team. Like, I really think Lewis is terrible. And if you have an incredibly talented team, even if you're an atrocious coach, like the worst you're going to do most years is 8-8. I mean, he went 6-9-1 last year. With a team preseason people thought was one of the most talented in the league. And also, a lot of times they're not ready. I watched a lot of Bengals games last year. Week one, you know, the Jets come out and, like, they sack Dalton 8 times. They had 8 sacks the rest of the season. Like, and so it's like, are the Jets good? No, it's like the Bengals are just underprepared. And so when you're in a division where you go up against Tomlin twice and Harbaugh twice and, you know, the great Hugh Jackson, the greatest coach of all time twice, you know, he's going to be outmatched almost every week.
And we are.
Yeah, but your players are better than these other teams. The difference between the Bengals and the Ravens roster now is substantial, but I'm not so sure the Bengals are going to like do much better than the Ravens this year.
I mean, if you look up and down our roster compared to a lot of teams, we're one of the elite talent teams, but we just never play like it.
But you guys are also old now, also. That's a little bit of an issue. This is a
and especially on defense. This is a defense that 2 years ago was elite. Last year was okay, but you know you continue to get older. They haven't really added. I mean, who'd they add on the defense? Kevin Minter. Who else have they added this offseason?
I mean, Kevin Minter, but then we have guys like Darquez Dennard and William Jackson, who we drafted first overall 2 consecutive years to start taking more cornerback spots. We have a new. I mean, we lost Ray Maluga, so we have a new guy coming in for him and Nick Vigil. We had Pecco for years. We don't have Pecco anymore. We have young guys like Andrew Billings stepping in. So we are getting younger. This year was a big offseason. Our big offseason move was to get younger and faster, and we did that. And we'll see if that translates to anything on the field.
I mean, it is crazy. Like, it's crazy how many like Michael Johnson, Dunlap, Geno Atkins, Burfict.
Well, Michael Johnson might not make the team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. There's a lot of, like, as of recent, there's been a lot of chatter that he's still on the roster. I think if we started the season right now, he'd make it. But in the next 2 weeks, a lot can change. And I think he's starting to get to that maybe outside looking in. We have a lot of,
young guys on the defensive line who are just being more productive than he is. And his role is, he just can't do it anymore. He's not a pass rusher. He's getting moved around by tackles all the time. They're trying this experiment where on like nickel downs, they bring him in. He's long, he can jump up, bat balls down. It's been kind of successful, but I don't know if it's worth it to waste a roster spot on him when other people can do that plus more.
It's pretty crazy that Pac-Man Jones is still hanging around the league.
He shut down Mike Evans in the end zone twice.
What, in the preseason?
Yeah, week one.
Those guys in the NFL are out of the league 99 times out of 100. So it's remarkable he's really, you know, built up a second career. And now he's just like, you know, an old man who's still there.
Yes, he is.
Wait for the 30 for 30 on Pac-Man Jones. That'll be a good one.
Yes, it will.
Georgia.
Considering this past offseason, too, with him.
Right. What is he suspended for game one only, right?
Yeah.
All right. I also hate when, like, a guy suspended for game one, and it's like, oh, yeah, we get an extra roster spot. It's like a weird benefit when you have a guy suspended where you get to keep 54 players or whatever. It's like a strange NFL quirk. Going back to the offense for one second before we play America's favorite game, the roster game, how do you see the Hill-Bernard mix-in thing shaking out in terms of, like, percentage of carries?
Like, asking for fantasy.
Asking for fantasy, but also curious for real football.
I don't think it affects Gio very much. I think Gio, what his role is going to continue. I think he might start off a little slower because he's coming off the knee injury, even though he's been like fine since day one. He came back way faster. So I don't see it affecting Gio. I could see Mixon by a couple weeks in taking most of Jeremy's carries. I think they ultimately brought him in to be Jeremy's replacement.
He's really on a first-name basis, Chester, with all these guys. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I guess he like must bunk with them during training camp.
He's gonna take Mr. Hill's his
He is Mr. Hill to you, Zach. You're well, actually, I don't know. Are you younger than these guys? You might be older than these guys now because NFL players are so young.
I'm older than those guys.
Yeah, the NFL, it's weird. Like sometimes in baseball, it's like, all right, most of the players are still older than you as you hit your 30s. The NFL, you're older than everyone but the kickers and the punters and the quarterbacks, basically.
Yeah.
All right, so we're actually going to mix it up. We only do this a couple times, but you got selected to. Being one of the few lucky participants, we're going to go through the Bengals 2017 schedule, and you tell us if it's going to be a W or an L, okay?
Okay.
So you guys start off the season with two home games in 5 days. That's pretty crazy if you're a season ticket holder. The two home game weeks are always fun.
I would just like to point out this is our first home opener in 7 seasons.
Yeah. Right, you beat us last year on the road. Okay, week one, hosting the Ravens.
W.
Okay, and then still part of week one in theory. Week two, hosting the Texans on Thursday
Night
Football.
I'll take W.
I love that they gave – I mean, I guess that's NFL Network. It's not ESPN, but I love that, like, ooh, you know what everyone loves? Like, primetime Bengals-Texans games. Like, you know, history has proven that out. So let's do more of that. So you're 2-0, and then you go to Lambeau 10 days later.
I think it's going to be our first L.
Okay, and then you go to Cleveland.
W.
3-1, last game before the bye, hosting the Bills.
W.
Okay, so you're 4-1, and then you go to Pittsburgh after the bye. And if you give Marvin Lewis 2 weeks to prepare, everyone knows what happens.
We lose.
Okay, 4-2. Hosting the Colts.
W.
Now you're 5-2, but you have a vicious 3-week schedule. Not necessarily the opponents, especially in the first week, but 3 straight weeks on the road. It's pretty rare in the NFL. So you go to Jacksonville.
I think we'll beat Jacksonville at Jacksonville.
Okay, so you're 6-2 at this point. You know, maybe Dalton's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. People are talking up the Bengals. Hey, are they going to be the number 2 seed after the Patriots? Then you go to Tennessee and face Mariota and the Titans.
I think we might. That'll be our loss. Okay. I think we'll lose.
Fair enough. 6-3. Chester, you want to take over?
With the schedule? No, you're doing a good job.
Okay, great. So you go to Denver the next week. This could be your 6-3. This very well might be the national game. 4:25 on November 19th, you're in Denver against Trevor Siemian. Maybe Paxton Lynch has replaced him by then, although Lynch kind of sucks.
I think we could beat Denver.
All right, so 7-3, and then you come home. It's a bizarre schedule. You come home for 3 straight games. It's a 3 on the road, 3 at home. I've never seen that before, ever. I'm not sure the last time a team's done that, I'm guessing, has not happened this century. 3 straight on the road, 3 straight at home without a bye in there somewhere.
Yeah, I do not recall that happening.
Hosting the Browns.
W.
Okay, so now you're 8-3, and then Monday Night Football, big game. Maybe the 8-3 Bengals will say the 7-4 Steelers. Who wins that game in Cincinnati?
We'll lose.
Okay, 8-4. Hosting the Bears. That's going to be Trubisky by then, I'd assume.
Win.
9-4. You go to Chester's beloved Minnesota Vikings.
I think they're going to beat us.
Okay, so now you're 9-5, and then you play the Lions at home, last home game of the season.
Win.
Wow. Chester, can you believe it?
Zach's usually pretty confident.
He's pretty confident. So now you're 10-5. Is that accurate?
I mean, that's been what they've been for most of the last decade. The question is once they get to the playoffs.
And then, not last year. You go to Baltimore, who you beat in week one.
I think we beat them again.
There's a bunch of week one, week 17 matchups this year. So you go 11-5. Does that win you the division?
I think we lose in a tiebreaker to the Steelers.
Wow. So you're the 5 seed probably in the playoffs. And then I don't know if you'd play the Steelers, maybe 11-5, that gives them the 3. So maybe you're playing the Texans in week one. Oh, wow. That's never happened before.
No.
The Bengals, Texans. Is that what you're predicting? Or are the Colts going to win that division? Or the Titans?
I'm gonna go with the Texans.
Okay, so Bengals, Texans, and who's gonna win that playoff game?
Bengals, finally.
Nice. So then you go to New England, and lose like 47-0, right?
Somewhere around there.
Okay, fine. All right, we got our season predictions from Zach Sosnick. You want to play one more game, Zach?
Sure.
It's America's favorite game. It's called the roster game. Are you familiar with it?
I've played it once or twice before.
You played the roster game. Chester, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm listening with bated breath.
You're riveted, I hear, to this. Chester loves the roster game. Definitely doesn't want
my
me
favorite.
Doing it. All right, Zach, pick a number between 0 and 100.
51.
All right, tell me everything you know about Bryson Albright.
Bryson Albright will not be making the Cincinnati Bengals. He is 40. He's number 49. He's got long hair. He was pretty unimpressive last game. A lot of those big runs you gave up, you see him just like running from behind. He's slow. There isn't much to him, I guess.
He's really big. He's a 6'5" linebacker. You don't see that often.
Yeah, he doesn't play very big though. He just plays slow.
And he's from Ohio. Do the Ohio guys get special privileges? They get to make the team sometimes.
Not like typically.
Man? No.
Last year we had Darius Hillary. He was Ira Hillary's little brother. Son.
Ira Hillary?
I don't know who that is.
He was a Bengal wide receiver in the 80s.
All right, I'm going to ask you a very unimportant trivia question, and you have to get it, okay?
Okay.
The Bengals currently on the roster have 4 players from 2 different colleges. Name those colleges.
Oh, repeat the question one more time.
The Bengals have 4 or more players from 2 different colleges. Let's say Notre Dame. They don't have 4 players from Notre Dame.
Okay.
They have 3. They have Eifert and Chris Brown and Russell. But which colleges do they have 4 players from?
Which college do we have 4 players from? For a while, we had a lot of Longhorns, but I think we only have 2 right now. We had a lot of Georgia Bulldogs, but...
America's really, you know, this game is going to... I feel like the segment is going to come back, Chester. FYI.
Listen, you're in charge of the segments. You're the segment producer.
All right, come on, Zach. I'm gonna declare time on you. Just get to colleges.
All right, I want to quiz Zach on something else. He's Zach. Do you listen to our podcast?
Let him finish answering the question. People are waiting with bated breath. You just say I don't know. Say don't do this.
I don't know. If I had to guess, mm-hmm. I mean maybe. Like Arizona State, maybe we have.
You have 3 guys from Arizona State. Vontez Burfict. That's not a terrible guess, but it's not the right one. All right, the answers are Alabama with Drake Kirkpatrick, Andre Smith, AJ McCarron, and Wallace Gilberry, and Georgia, who you mentioned but didn't guess, with AJ Green and Geno Atkins, 2 of your best players, plus Clint Bowling and Sean Williams. All right, this has been the final segment ever of how many players do you have from certain colleges? Chester, did you have a question for Zach?
Oh, I was going to ask Zach, do you listen to our podcast frequently or occasionally?
Really?
I did in the past. Last year, once the Bengals were kind of out of it, I kind of got my enough of the Bengals every week.
Yeah. All right. So you haven't, you did not listen to our rankings of the top 100 quarterbacks of all time, right?
I read the rankings.
Well, who's the greatest quarterback in NFL history who is eligible for the Hall of Fame and not in the Hall of Fame?
So eligible for the Hall of Fame, but not in the Hall of Fame. I know you're. I mean, I'm a huge Ken Anderson fan.
Yeah, that's the correct answer.
Yes.
But it's always so dorky to ask. Ask that question. Like, do you listen to my podcast? I've never. You don't.
No, no. Well, I just wanted to know if he had heard my rant about Ken Anderson not being in the Hall of Fame. How it's like a crime against humanity.
I know, but there has to be a better way to ask that than like, do you listen to my?
No,
podcast?
No. I know. It sounds a little pathetic on the very podcast.
All right, let's go to over under. We already know. Let's tell us what the Bengals over under is. Obviously, Zach is going to go over.
So yeah, so the Bengals over under is much like the team that they're tied with in our power rankings, Houston. It's 8.5.
I'll go.
And I think both teams are going 9-7, even though I have 1-8 and 1-16. Zach thinks they're going way over.
But I mean, when you were going over the schedule with me, we look at our schedule. We have like the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. So like, I understand like if we had a tougher schedule that we could maybe win 8 games or 7 games or even have a losing record. But we have really an easy schedule this season. So that's why I'm kind of more optimistic on a kind of a rebound year. If we do poorly this year, then we have to rethink a lot of things.
Well, it just, what do you mean? They're never going to rethink a lot of things. If they didn't fire Marvin Lewis after last year, what are they waiting for?
His contract wasn't up.
Oh, because the Browns are too cheap to a.
They don't let people go before their contracts are up. It's very
That's
rare.
Depressing.
Yeah.
And I think.
All right. So you got another year. You got another year, Marvin Lewis. Yeah. Let me put it this way. We heard that you're going to play Houston in the first round. Is this the year? And we've asked this every year to you in the preseason. Is this the year that Andy Dalton finally wins a playoff game?
I think so.
And Marvin Lewis.
I think so.
Okay. I mean, I'm. You know, they found a miraculous way to lose 2 years ago. So
gave the game up.
Yeah, where there's a will, there's a way. And of course, that wasn't even Andy. That would have only been a Marv. You're not on a first name basis with him, are you? Just the players.
Mr. Lewis, you mean?
Yeah. Well, Mr. Lewis has been around the longest. I guess you respect your elders, though. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I call him Marvin.
Marvin, marvelous Marvin. All right, Akiva, what else do you have for the Bengals?
That's it.
What do other people? What do other people call their like favorite players or their players in their team?
I mean, I don't have like I'm on a team that I don't have any favorite players. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So they'd go by like they'd be like Green Dalton.
I mean, I do refer to Teddy Bridgewater as Teddy, but that's because he's so cute and he's so young and you know he looks like a little teddy bear, and also he's so fragile like a teddy bear. His poor little baby ankles.
Remember when Teddy Ruxpin tears his ACL and everyone would just like vomit all over the place? That's what he's like. All right.
So
this has been so fun, Zach. Hopefully we will have you on playoffs, but I doubt it because I think this is it for Marvin Lewis. I think 8-8 and you guys are hopefully you'll rebuild with a better coach.
So, Keith, you're taking the under 8.5.
I'm definitely going under. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Oh, it's a lot. All right, Zach. Thanks so much. And we'll see who's right, me or Akiva.
You're right.
Sorry. Thanks. Akiva, that's both guests today who were on my side.
That's fine.
I think I picked you every year, though. Akiva's always been down.
No, but the funny, because the Houston guy was the opposite. Akiva had them 8, I had them 16, and the Houston guy still agreed with me. He's like, we're not good. So, all right. Talk to you later, Zach. Bye-bye.
Have a great one. Because Lord only knows it's getting late. Your senses are gone, so don't you hesitate to give yourself a call. Let your bottom dollars fall. Throwing your two big cares down the drain.
your senses are gone, so don't you hesitate.